of Allah, the most beneficent, the most merciful.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa wala hama ba'd. The topic today is of course a topic of great importance, a great magnitude, and of course we only have 15 minutes to discuss it. So I'm just going to summarize some key points and then open the floor for questions and dialogue. The question is of course the relationship between church and state. So we begin by asking ourselves, what do we mean by church? And then we begin with the second question, what should a state do with this conception of a church? Well, by church we primarily mean morality and laws. Morality and laws. And we need to understand from an Islamic perspective, what is morality? And what is the role of a legal religious system? It's a very simple question, right? What is morality? And what is the role of a legal system that is coming from a divine entity? A theological system of laws. How do Muslims view this? For Muslims, morality is explained in a very simple manner. Scientists don't understand what is morality. Why do people have something called morality? Why do people feel the need to take care of, let's say, disabled, to take care of orphans, to take care of those who are of no benefit to society? Why do we feel the need that we should always be good to the stranger and the poor? We should respect our elders. And of course, this is one of the existences of God, according to the Western tradition. It's called the morality proof. The proof of the existence of God for morality. For us Muslims, morality is very easily explainable. In that Allah created us upon a human nature that is called the fitrah. A nature that is implanted into us, a divine nature that is implanted into us. Call it a subconscious understanding or a subconscious knowledge that God has put into every human being that tells us right from wrong. Everybody agrees that murder is wrong. Everybody agrees that rape is wrong. Everybody agrees that stealing is wrong, even though they might not even believe in a God, but they'll believe this is wrong. And of course, this goes back to the issue of, you know, we are definitely not descendants of animals, because if we were, then these notions of survival of the fittest would apply. And if they applied, we wouldn't be taking care of elderly people, wouldn't be taking care of the poor. So morality is what Allah implanted in us. Every human being has a divine code, call it a divine compass, that tells us our gut instincts. We can also call it a conscience. Everybody feels guilty when they do a crime, even if they're not caught. They feel guilty. And everybody feels good when they do something good, when they give money to the poor, when they help out a beggar, when they give charity. They feel good. Because our Lord created us in this manner, that when we do good, we feel good. And when we do evil, we feel evil. And this leads us to the issue of the laws of God, the laws of Allah. In Arabic, they're called Sharia. The Jews call it the Halakha. Christians once upon a time had something called the canon, and the Catholic Church still has the canon. These are the laws that God gives to mankind. Now, from a Muslim perspective, these laws are not only logical, they are completely expected. They're a necessary requirement of a God. In other words, one can phrase the question, what is the purpose of a God? What is the purpose of a God? Well, the God not only takes care of us, He also provides for us. He also nourishes us. Our Lord does not only take care of our physical needs, He also takes care of our spiritual ones. Of what purpose is a God that will give you your food and drink, that will make sure that your oxygen is there, that will make sure you can eat and drink, but He doesn't tell you how to live your life? In fact, the life of the soul is more important than the life of the body, because the body must perish, but the soul lives on forever. So the life of the soul is more important than the life of the body. So the one who takes care of the body, ipso facto, by even more need, he must take care of the soul. And Allah says this very clearly in the Quran. أَيَحْسَبُ الْإِنسَانُ أَنْ يُتْرَكَ السُّدَى. Did man assume that we would create him and let him be without telling him how to live his life? Did man assume we created him and then cut him off? This is what deism says. Deism is a philosophy that some of the founding fathers of this country, Jefferson and Benjamin Franklin, they had. They weren't really technically Christians. They didn't believe in the divinity of Jesus Christ. They were deists. They believed in a God. And then they said, God really has nothing to do with the world as we live in it today. He created us, He let us be. Now, this concept although it explains creation, because they had to explain where they came from. So they said there's a God. This concept is illogical from our tradition, because the one who creates you should also tell you how to live, because he knows best what is life. أَلَا يَعْلَمُ مَنْ خَلَقَ وَهُوَ اللَّطِيفُ الْخَبِيرُ. Shouldn't the one who creates know what is best? Or doesn't the one who creates know what is best? Who is more greater and more perfect to tell us how to judge our lives than Allah? And Allah says so in the Quran very clearly, that the laws that come from Him are laws of mercy, are laws of spirituality, are laws that are for our best. And any law that we try to develop ourselves will be laws that will allow the powerful to take advantage of the weak, that will allow evil people privileges that they shouldn't have. So Allah says that the hukmullah, that the judgment of Allah is the best. Ala lahul hukmu, that to Allah belongs the hukm and the command. To Allah belongs the judgment and the worship. We worship our Lord and we obey Him. So, from our perspective, a religious law called the Sharia or Halakha, whatever you want to call it, a religious law is completely logical. And in fact, it is the only law that would unite large groups of people, because they believe it is coming from one who is greater than them. So from our perspective, it's a natural extension of the attributes of God to say that God tells us what is permitted and what is impermitted, what is allowed and what isn't allowed. And so Muslims have always understood that a basic requirement of Islam is to submit to the laws of God. In fact, that is the definition of Islam. Islam means submission to the laws of God. So a Muslim, by definition, is one who submits to the laws of God. Now, question arises, what should the role of these laws be in a nation state, in a country, in a society? And the response, again, to be very brief here, is that for Muslim societies, for Muslim countries and lands, not for America, but for where there is a predominant Muslim majority and people who wish to be Muslim in name and in practice, it is completely logical for them to want to establish a state that is governed by the laws that they believe are divine. It's completely logical and rational, and this is in fact what Muslims the world over are saying. Look at the recent elections that are taking place in Egypt, in Tunisia, in Algeria. Wherever these regimes have toppled, the media calls them Islamists, some scary term. But they're average people, they're Muslims. Wherever these regimes have toppled, the predominant party that is the most strong is always the party that has visions for Islamic laws being enacted. And no doubt there are questions that arise about to what level they will be modified and what needs to go with time. But the basic gist is, I want to live my life in the public and private sphere as a Muslim. And that's of course completely logical for those who believe in the Sharia. However, we need to understand that the Western world, when I say we here, I mean the Muslim world, needs to understand the Western world has had a very different experience with church and with laws of religion. You see, this is one of the biggest problems I find when I discuss this issue with Muslims and then with non-Muslims. Muslims, when they think of theocracy, when they think of religious states, they think of the glorious caliphates of the Umayyads, the Abbasids, of the Granada, Muslim Granada, and they think of security and stability. They think of peace. They think of times of glory. We were at our pinnacle, according to our history. We were at our pinnacle when our rulers judged by the laws of God. We had the greatest strength, the greatest technological achievements, the greatest peace and harmony when we were faithful to our religion. It is only with the rise of imperialism and the invasion of foreign lands where the decline was basically cemented. Now, we as Muslims don't realize, even though we study it growing up in America, that the West had a very different experience with religion. For them, theocracy. For them, church and state were never happily married. For them, the excesses of the Catholic Church are terrifying. And when you mention theological state, we have this peaceful, romantic look. They get shudders and spines, oh my God. Because their experiences have been very different from ours. When the church was in power, those were the Middle Ages, the Dark Ages, when science was impeded, when there was no development, when there was tyranny, when there was this, when there was that. They needed the Renaissance. They needed the Reformation. They needed to break away from the church to attain their freedoms. Their history is very different than Islamic history. Now the problem comes on both sides, that Christians don't understand that Muslim history is very different. And Muslims don't understand that Christian history is very different. A little bit of knowledge will help clarify a lot of things. Secularism is a very modern notion. And we don't really think about that. Secularism is only 250 years old. Basically, with the birth of the French Revolution is when secularism began. And secularism was a necessity for Europeans to survive and coexist with each other. Forget about tolerance between Christians, Jews, and Muslims. Christians could not tolerate other Christians, as we all know when we study history. Catholics and Protestants, even within Protestants, the Baptists and Anabaptists, there were massacres, 100-year wars, 30-year wars, the Inquisition. And so secularism was a necessary byproduct of Western Europe in order for Western Europe to succeed. Take religion and throw it out the public sphere. Throw it into the private sphere, right? And we as Muslims need to understand where this comes from. They couldn't get by when they were ruling by religion, so they had to make religion secondary. Some, such as America, made it still relatively public. They allowed it in public. And others, such as France, took it to an even higher level. These are different philosophies of secularism. For example, in the American, the French model is primarily based on Jean-Jacques Rousseau. And Rousseau was very harsh. He could not imagine a religion flourishing in public if it was competing with power. And he wanted to just basically outlaw religion to the complete private sphere. France basically took the Rousseauian notion. And France, therefore, is very anti-religion in the public sphere. We know this by the banning of the hijabs and whatnot. America, of course, went a very different way. And America, of course, it took not only from Hobbes and from, Jefferson, of course, was reading it as well. But America took from many different intellectuals. John Locke is probably the most famous. John Locke is probably the most famous intellectual that our American vision is based on. And John Locke was far more tolerant of religion being in a public sphere. So even secular, and that's why America allows religion much more publicity, if you like. Publicity might not be the best term, but of course that also applies here in America, than let's say the France model does, or the French model does. My point is, we need to understand that the notion of separating church and state is not a given to the whole world. It's a very Western notion. It's a notion that Western Europe had to invent in order for it to survive. And it is a notion that is fine in and of itself for the people who wish to follow it. So we as American Muslims, therefore, have a big challenge ahead of us. And it is a challenge. And there's no problems admitting it. Honesty is always the best policy. We have a challenge. That challenge is, how do we live faithful to our Sharia in a land that is secular in nature? It's a very deep question. And it's a challenge that we are thinking about to this day. And I'm not going to solve it in the 3 minutes remaining, so don't worry about that. But I have been talking about this quite a lot, by the way, for the last few years. And people greater than me and bigger than me and more intellectual than me are also discussing it. But I have certain guidelines, and then inshallah we'll conclude and open the floor for Q&A. Number one, the American vision, the American model, guarantees freedom of religion in one's personal life. Therefore, as Muslims, we need to appreciate this freedom. And we need to understand that being American allows us to be Muslim in our personal life. And we should have no contradiction with this claim. There's no contradiction being American and Muslim. Number two, some people might have visions of Islamic states, theocracies, establishing the Sharia. The fact of the matter is, we as American Muslims, and I've said this very bluntly, should not and cannot have that dream for the lands that we live in. I'm not talking about Egypt, Pakistan, Timbuktu, Somalia. I'm not talking about them. I'm talking about here in America. We need to be very clear here that the ultimate vision for us as American Muslims has to be to allow us to be Muslims in our private lives. And anybody who talks of overthrowing or establishing of caliphate or whatnot, we need to tell them this talk is not Islamic. That's how far I go. And our model here is the Muslims of Abyssinia. And I've said this many times before. The Muslims who went to Abyssinia, they never intended to overthrow the Abyssinian system. They never intended to be a fifth column. They never intended to be a political force. They simply wanted to be left to worship the way that they saw fit. Number three, there's nothing wrong with making a public case for something that is religious in nature, and we allow the people to decide. If somebody wants to make a public case based out of religion, this is something that Americans are doing all the time. One only needs to look at Roe versus Wade. One only needs to look at abortion. Look at the issue of abortion, gay marriage. So many Christians across the country do not want gay marriage. They do not want to legalize abortion. Are they trying to establish a Christian Sharia state? The response is, it doesn't matter what they intend. As long as they're using the system, it's fine. And they are using the system. They're petitioning, they're lobbying, they're trying to convince people, that's fine. If we as well oppose abortion, and Muslims do generally oppose abortion, if we as well value family marriage, if we as well have moral issues, there's no problem. We tell the people, look, this is what we believe. And we as Muslims need to separate legality from morality. I might believe something is immoral even if it is legal in America. I think it's immoral to drink. I'm not calling for the banning of drinking. I think it's immoral, premarital, extramarital sex, and intercourse, and homosexuality. I believe it is immoral, but I'm not calling for it to be made illegal. And the fact that I believe it is immoral is also a guaranteed right under this country. You cannot dictate to me what is my morality, nor can you force me to act in a way that is contrary to my belief. So, we do have issues, we do have gray areas, we do have problems. It's not going to be easy. But by the way, we're not the only group that has problems. Fundamentalist Christians, Orthodox Jews, they all have a system of laws that they believe in. And they also are American citizens. We're not alone here. So those who try to portray us as a fifth column, they try to portray us as potential evil people because we have religious laws. The fact of the matter is, large segments of the American population also have religious laws that clash with American laws. But they deal with it. And that's exactly what we're going to do as well. Roe versus Wade is a classic example. More than 40% of America does not like Roe versus Wade. Does that make them un-American? Does that make them any less American that they don't like Roe versus Wade? Well, then we too, as Muslims, we have a lot of issues that we might disagree with. But this is our constitutional right. And as long as we as Muslims and we as Americans understand the difference between legality and morality, and we understand that our vision in North America is to be moral in our personal lives and not to force that morality on other people, then inshallah, we can very easily, I'm very optimistic, carve out a coexistence, carve out an area where we can be faithful to our religion, we can be faithful to our religious texts, we can be sincere Muslims, and we can also be law-abiding and loyal citizens of this country. Where there's a will, there's a way. Those who wish to cause problems will find it. Those who wish to solve problems will also be able to do so. Jazakumullahu khairan. Wassalamu alaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh.